we're going to start from the Mishnah on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah tells us, Shachtu shalol la'uchlav v'shalol l'menuyav, la'arelim v'letimeyim pasol, la'uchlav v'shalol la'uchlav, l'menuyav v'shalol l'menuyav, l'mulim v'la'arelim v'letimeyim v'letahorim kasher. So the Mishnah basically makes the following distinction. If a person shechs the Karban Pesach exclusively for those types of people that either physically or halachically are not allowed to partake or participate or eat of the karban. So whether that means they physically can't eat the karban, or whether that means that they didn't register for it, or that they don't have a bris milah, or that they're tamei, that karban is pasul. However, if there's kind of this dual intention where part of the people you're shechting for are disqualified from partaking, and part of them are not, so then the Mishnah says, then the karban is kosher. Shachtu kodim chatzos pasul mishum shenemar bein ha'arbayim, shachtu kodim lesamid kosher, uvilvad sheyehe acher memar. Then the Mishnah makes a further distinction. If a person shechts the Karban Pesach before Chatzos Hayom, before midday, that Karban is pasul. However, if a person shechts the Karban Pesach prior to the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim being offered, which again, you're not supposed to do, but if you did it, then it's kosher, provided that there's someone sitting around and stirring the blood of the Karban Tamid to prevent it from congealing until such time that you do the Zrika Sadam, until you sprinkle the blood of the Karban Tamid, and once you sprinkle the blood, so then the Karban Pesach is going to be kosher. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad Shalom, yeah.
The sprinkling of blood is after the
tumid,
is that the
point? No, in other words, we're talking about the sprinkling of the blood of the Karban Tumid. That, in other words, you have to wait until, in other words, once the blood of the Karban Tumid is sprinkled, so then at that stage already the Karban Pesach is going to be valid. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ketzad shelo la'uchlav, l'shem chole o l'shem zakin. What's the case of a person who physically can't partake of the Karban Pesach? A person is too sick, a person is too old. In other words, the case where they basically physically can't eat the Karban. Ketzad shelo l'menuyav. What's the case where a person didn't register? Nimnu alav chavura zov, shachtu l'shem chavura acheres. Let's say you had several people who registered for a group of the Karban Pesach, but when the Kohen shechted the Karban, he thought that he was doing it for a different chavura, for a different group, so that's going to be problematic as well. So the Gemara says, how do we know that if it was shechted for people who can't partake of the karban, that it's problematic? The son of Rabbanan, bimichsas, malamid she'ena pesach nishchat elo lemenuyav. We derive from this week's parasha, the pasuk says, bimichsas nefashos, that only people who were registered for the karban can partake. So if the karban was shechted for those who were not registered for it, then the carbon is going to be pasul. Yachol shachtu shalol l'menuyav yeheka over al hamitzvah v'chasher tamad lomar b'michsas tochosu hakasuv shana alav la'akev. So the Gemara says that one might have thought that, in other words, yes, you're not really supposed to shecht the carbon for the sake of those who are not registered for it, but if I did, perhaps the carbon is still kasher. In other words, maybe I violated an isser in the Torah, but who's to say that the carbon is not still kasher? So comes the Torah with this repetitive lashon of b'michsas. The Torah uses these two words with the same shoresh, b'michsas nefashos tachosu al aseh. That repetitive lashon teaches me that this is not just the din lechatchila. This is ma'akev b'di'evit. If you shech the karban for the karban pesach for the sake of the wrong chabura, that's going to be problematic. Okay, then the Gemara has a slightly different interpretation. Rebbe Omer lashon sursihu ka'adam sheomer lachaviro kosli talazeh. Rebbe interprets the word tachosu slightly differently because he derives it from the Aramaic word kos. The Aramaic word kos or lachos means to slaughter or to shecht. So in other words, Rebbe says that built into the word in the Pasuk in Parshas Bo, when it says b'michsas nefashos, it means that during the process of the shechita of the Karban Pesach, it needs to be done for those who are registered for the Karban. Okay, so the Gemara says ashkechan shalola menuyav, shalola ochlav menon. So we found a source in Chumash that if Karban is shechted for those who are not registered, then it's problematic. How do we know that if a Karban is shechted for those who physically can't partake of the Karban, either because they're too old or because they're ill, how do we know that that's also problematic? Amar kra ish lefiach lo tachosu. So the Gemara says, because it also says ish lefiach lo, that it has to go based on those who are eating the karban. So the Gemara says we compare the psul of those who are not registered to the psul of those who physically cannot partake of the karban. Okay. Then the Gemara says shachtu lemulin amenas sheyiskapru bo arelim bizrika. Rav Chista amar pasul, Rabba amar kasher. Rav Chista amar pasul yesh machsheves arelim bizrika. Rabba amar kasher in machsheves arelim bizrika. The Gemara presents a machlokas about the following. I shecht the Karban Pesach for the sake of those who have a bris milah, which is what I'm supposed to do. The problem is that I also intend that the zrikas hadam, the sprinkling of the blood of the Karban Pesach, should atone, should affect kapara for those who are arelim, for those who do not have a bris milah. So the question is that going to disqualify the Karban? So that's a machlokas between Rav Chista and Rabba. Rav Chista says that is problematic, but Rabba says it's not. What's the machlokas? So the Gemara explains that the issue at hand here is whether we say machsheves arelim bizrika. Does the fact that I am intending to view the zrikas hadam of the Karban Pesach, that it should apply to arelim, to those who do not have a bris milah, should that somehow undermine my Karban Pesach or not? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabba, Minah Aminah, Rabba says, how do I know that in this case, when I'm intending to do Zrika for Arelim, that it's still okay, the carbon is still kosher? Disanya, Yochel Yifso B'nei Chavura Ba'en Imo, I might have thought that the other members of the Chavura who registered for the carbon, if let's say they're Arelim, are going to disqualify the carbon, Vidinu, and in fact, it would have even been logical to suggest this. Ho will the Arla Poseles, Tuma Poseles, Ma Tuma Lo Asaba Miktas Tuma Kechol Tuma, Af Arla Lo Asaba Miktas Arla. So this is suggestion number one in the Gemara. The Gemara says that one might have very logically suggested that just as when I shecht the Karban Pesach, let's say I shecht the Karban Pesach for 10 members of the Chabura, let's say 7 of them are Tahar and 3 of them are Tameh. So the Mishnah told us explicitly that Karban is still kosher, because as long as there's one person that you're shechting for who can partake, that's fine. So just as when it comes to Tuma, we know the halacha is that as long as you have someone who's fit, who's Tahar, then that Karban is kosher, so I might have logically suggested that the same standard should apply for Arelim. Namely, if I shecht for a group of 10 people, and let's say 7 of them have bris milas and 3 of them don't, so I would have said that that's valid, that that's fine. So therefore, I need the pasuk to tell me that that's not the case. So that's one option. Then the Gemara says, oh, klach l'derech, so we could suggest a second option. Ho of Arlap, yeah.
Doesn't Mishnah specifically say for Arelim and not Arelim
yes, but again, we're discussing a case of the guy who is shechting for those who have bris milah. Now the zrika is being intended for those who are arelim. That case was not mentioned in the Mishnah. That's the machlokas that we're trying to derive from all these cases to extrapolate to figure out what the halacha should be in this case. That's what the Gemara is trying to do here. Okay. Okay, so now the Gemara gives a second option. O klach l'derech zo, ho will v'arla poseles uzman posel, ma zman asaba miktas zman kechol zman, af arla asaba miktas arla kechol arla. So option number two is the exact opposite of option number one, because in this option, the Gemara is suggesting that we should compare the psul of arla, of an arel, to the psul of zman, right? Zman means that if a person shechts the Karban Pesach with the intent of eating it beyond the proper time, that carbon is puzzle, right? That's so. In other words, the Gemara says that just as if I shech the Karban Pesach and I have any sort of thought to eat, let's say I intend to eat even just one kezias of that carbon beyond the proper time frame, the entire carbon is puzzle, even if I wanted to eat the rest of it within the proper time frame. So I might have logically suggested that the psul of an RL should be the same thing. Namely, if I shecht it even for one RL, even if everyone else in the group are not RLim, I might have thought that's still problematic. So now the Gemara says we have to figure out which of these cases is more similar to the case of Arel. Nira lemi dome. Danin davar she'eno noeg b'chol hazvachim. Midavar she'eno noeg b'chol hazvachim. V'al yochiach zman she'noeg b'chol hazvachim. So the Gemara suggests that it would seem to be more logical to compare two criteria that are unique to Karban Pesach as opposed to something which is a universal din by Karbanos. So for example, the psul of Tamei and the psul of Arel are unique to Karban Pesach. And again, we'll see in the Gemara in a second that when it comes to the psul of other karbanos, there are cases where a tamei person can participate. We'll see that in a second. So those two criteria of tamei and of arel are unique to Karban Pesach. They do not really apply in most cases to other karbanos, as opposed to the psul of zman, the psul that says that if you eat a karban beyond the proper time frame, it's problematic. That is not unique to Karban Pesach. That is a universal psul that applies to all karbanos. So if anything, the Gemara says it makes more sense to compare tuba to the case of Arel, as opposed to the psul of Zman, the psul of eating it or intending to eat it beyond the proper time, which is a universal halakha that applies to all karbanos. That's Gemara's, that's option number two. Then the Gemara offers a third option. O klach lederek zo. Done in davar shelo hutar michlalo, mi davar shelo hutar michlalo, v'al tochiach tuma shehutra michlala. On the other hand, the Gemara says that when it comes to tuma, as we just alluded to before, tuma is unique in the sense that there are exceptions to the rule, because as the Gemara points out, Meseches Yumen and several other places, there is a concept known as Tuma Hutra Metzibur, that if the majority of Klal Yisrael are Tameh, they are permitted to offer karbanos in a state of Tuma. So Tuma has this unique exception that does not apply to Arelim or to Zman, or to shechting it for the intent of eating it beyond the proper time. Those two intentions, those two issues are never going to be permissible. If I shech the Karban Pesach for the sake of a person who's an Arel, or for the intention of eating it beyond the proper time, there's never a case where that's going to be okay. As opposed to shechting it for those who are tamei, if the majority of Klal Yisrael is tamei, then that's going to be fine. So the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar Zos, comes the Pasuk and tells us in Parshas Bo, Zos Chukas HaPasach, this is the law of the Karban. What does that mean? My Zos, Ilema Dechula Arla Pasla Miktsasa Lo Pasla Haimi V'chola Rel Nafka. If the word Zos is coming to teach me that a Karban Pesach is only invalidated when I exclusively shecht it for the sake of Arelim. But if there's even one person that I'm shechting for who's not an RL, then that's fine. The karban is still valid. The Gemara says that's not derived from the word Zos. We already know that from a different pasuk that says v'chol arel lo yochal bo. In Parshas Bo, it also says v'chol arel. Chol arel sounds like it's only problematic if the karban is exclusively slaughtered for arelim. But if there's even one guy who has a bris mila, then it's fine. So it can't be derived from the word Zos. El alav hachi katane talmud lomar v'chol arel. Kula arla pasla, miktsasa lo pasla. So must be we derive from the phrase v'chol arel, as the Gemara just said, that the Karban Pesach is only invalidated if it's exclusively slaughtered for the sake of arelim. V'chi tema hu hadin lizrika dechula arla miha pasla. So then fine. So now that we've just proved that a Karban Pesach is disqualified if it's exclusively shechted for arelim, so the Gemara says it's not such a crazy leap to now suggest that if the zrikas hadam, if the sprinkling of the blood is exclusively done for Arelim, that should also be a problem. Again, remember, this relates back to the original machlokas in the Gemara between Rav Chista and Rabbah. That's what we're trying to answer. That's what we're trying to prove, who's correct in this machlokas. When the Kohen shechs the Karban Pesach for the sake of those who have bris milah, but the zurika is done for the sake of Arelim, that's the issue at hand. So it's not such a leap to say, says the Gemara, that if I do the zurika sadam exclusively for Arelim, that should disqualify the Karban, just as if I were to shecht it exclusively for Arelim, it would disqualify the Karban. The Gemara says no. Talmud Lomar Zos Bishchita Huhu Dechula Arla Mia Pasla Avol Zrika Afilu Kula Arla Nami Lo Pasla. That's the chiddush of the word Zos. When the Torah says in this parasha Zos Chukas HaPasach, this is the law of the Karban Pesach. It's teaching me that this halacha, this notion that when I shech the Karban Pesach exclusively for Arelim, that's problematic. Whereas when it comes to Zrika, even if the Zrika is done exclusively for Arelim, it doesn't matter. It's not going to disqualify the Karban, because this is a unique halacha that applies only to Shechita. That's how the Gemara interprets it based on this pasuk, and this would obviously seem to be a support for Rabbah that the Karban is still going to be valid. Again, we'll see the Gemara is going to go back and forth about this in a second. Yeah, Bill, you have a question?
Yeah. Is the case here where there really is people in the Kaburah who are okay, but the Kohen had the Machshava and he's doing it only for Arelim?
That's what it's... Well, I mean, again, I'm not sure exactly who the members of the...
If it's only for Arelim, then what's the point? You're not going to...
Again, when it comes to determining what the Kohen's Machshava is in a lot of these cases that we've been mentioning, it's kind of immaterial what the Metzias is. In other words, what the practical breakdown of people in the Chabura is. That doesn't really interest us. Why the Kohen had this Machshava is kind of beyond us. Why he would even think about this is you know, a different story. But at the end of the day, he had this Machshava. So now the question is, what do we do about that? Is this problematic or not? So we'll see as the Gemara goes on that, you know, obviously Rav Chista is going to have a different source, you know, or a different way of interpreting this pasuk, as we'll see in a second. But again, at this, yeah, Yonash, go ahead. Yeah,
I was just wondering why all of a sudden, who's making all that noise? I'm just curious why all of a sudden the zrika, the shechita becomes more important than the zrika. We already know already a shechita could be done by a zar.
Okay, right.
The zrika is really the most important part of the whole corpus.
That's true. And we're actually,
why would I ever have a it's just the opposite way of thinking.
So, okay. So the Gemara is actually going to discuss this in a couple of lines, because we'll see that this is part of the machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Chisda, this very issue, right? This very issue about the relationship between Zrika and Shechita is going to actually be kind of underlie the machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Chisda, as we'll see right now. Okay, so the Gemara explains. V'chi tema mai kula de Zrika de'ein machsheves ochlin bezrika. So the Gemara says, what exactly is the leniency? So again, this kind of touches on what Mitch was just asking. So what exactly is the leniency of Zrika? As Mitch pointed out, Zrika, we assume, is more severe of anything than Shechita is. So how come all of a sudden the Zrika is viewed in a lenient fashion? So the Gemara says, as we pointed out already before, that machsheves ochlin does not pasul bezrika. What that means is that if the Kohen has a bad machshava while doing the Zrika Saddam, let's say he says, I want to do the Zrika for the sake of those who can't physically eat the karban, that doesn't do anything. That doesn't affect the karban, because the Gemara pointed out that machsheves ochlin is only problematic during the Shechita, not the Zrika. So there is a precedent for the notion that in certain cases, the Shechita is in fact a little bit more stringent than the Zrika. So then the question is, okay, so how does Rav Chisda respond to that? For Rav Chisda, adarabba, li'idach gisa, tamad lomar v'chol arel, kula arla pasla, miktsasa lo pasla, aval zrika afilu miktsasa nami pasla. So now Rav Chisda could interpret the pasuk exactly the opposite the way that Rabbah did. In other words, we were assuming up until now that according to Rabbah, there's this tremendous chiddush that as opposed to Shechita, where if I shecht it exclusively for arilim, it's pasul. If I do zrika exclusively for arilim, it's not. So now Rav Chisda is saying that no, that perhaps one could argue that zrika is more severe, because even if I only do zrika for some people who are arilim, that will disqualify the carbon, which is a complete 1E from what Rabbah was suggesting. So maybe one might have thought that maybe Zrika should just be the same standard as Shechita. In other words, if I do Zrika exclusively for Arilim, yeah, that's problematic, but perhaps if I only do it for some Arilim and some people who are not Arilim, maybe that's okay. No, Tamad Lomar Zos, Shechita hu de Miktsasa lo Pasla, Avo Zrika afilu Miktsasa Pasla. That's the Chiddush of the word Zos in Parashas Bo, to teach me that it's specifically the Shechita where we say that only if it's exclusively shechted for the sake of our arilim, that's problematic. But when it comes to the Zrika, according to Rav Chisda, even if the Zrika is only partially done for arilim, that's also problematic. So according to Rav Chisda, as Mitch pointed out before, Zrika is in fact a chumrah over Shechita. Rabbah is obviously going to disagree. So now the question is, of course, v'chitema umay chumrei de Zrika. So why, according to Rav Chisda, why is Zrika more chumrah, more stringent than Shechita? So says the Gemara, delo mikva pigul ela bezrika, because there's a halacha, the Gemara Menachos tells us that a karban can only be determined as violating the isser of pigol at the moment of zrika. What does that mean? So we know, of course, that pigol means that when the kohen shechts the karban, he does so with the intention of eating it beyond the proper time. Now, the only way that a karban can come into violation of pigol is if every step before that point was done properly. So let's say, for example, a person in one of the prior avodos, whether it was shechita, kabbalah, or holacha, had another kavan, another machshava that would otherwise disqualify. Let's say he thought, you know what, I'm going to eat this beyond the proper place, you know, outside the confines of the Azara or outside the confines of Yerushalayim, depending on what type of carbon it is. So then the carbon is not even subject to pigul at all. Pigul presupposes that every step beforehand was done properly, which means that pigul can only be established at the moment of Zrika, because that assumes that everything you did up until that point was done properly. So in that sense, Rav Chisda says, Zrika is in fact much more chumer than Shechita is. So now the Gemara asks, "Maskif lo Rav Ashi, mimai dahai v'chol arel kula mashma dilmahai v'chol arel mashma kol dehu arla." So now the question is, well, how do we know? Again, we've been assuming this whole time that v'chol arel teaches me that the only time the carbon pesach is going to be disqualified is if it's exclusively shechted for arel, and that's v'chol arel, all the arel. So the question is, why are we assuming that that's what the word v'chol arel means? Maybe v'chol arel could have been interpreted in the exact opposite fashion, namely as kol. In other words, even if I shechted for one arel, perhaps that should be problematic. How do we know that the chol arel has to be exclusively for arelim? So says the Gemara, Kasav Rachman Azos, Da'ad Di'ika Kula Arlo Lo Pasla, Loshna Beshchita V'Loshna Bezrika. That's what the word Zos Chukas HaPasach, comes to teach me, that until it's exclusively shechted for the sake of arelim, then it's not going to be possible. And the Gemara says that's true both for Shechita and for Zrika, which again is only going to make sense according to Rabbah. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ella Amar Rav Rav Ashi, Rav Chista v'Rabba b'haikra k'biflagei v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav, alav v'lo al chavero, Rabba savar chavero dum yedidei bahu debar kapara av chavero debar kapara la'afuke hay'orel delav bar kaparahu v'Rav Chista savar hay'orel nami kevon debar chiyuvahu bar kaparahu ho'el di'iboy mesake nafshei. So the Gemara says the machlokas really between Rabba and Rav Chista is how to interpret the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. The Torah describes a carbon ola. It says v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav, that the carbon, by bringing the carbon, by doing the zrikas adam, you are going to affect kapara for the person. So the Gemara has a drasha, Maseches Vachin, that the word alav teaches me alav v'lo al chaveru, that the carbon can only affect kapara for me, but not for somebody else. As we spoke about yesterday extensively, that would be a psul of shinui bailin. That's a psul of having a different owner of the carbon. So the Gemara says, just as you are a person who is subject to kapara, that's why the carbon is going to be valid. So too, the other person who is being referenced in this pasuk in Vayikra has to be someone who's subject to kapara. And the machlokas between Rabba and Rav Chista basically is an arel a person who is subject to kapara? So according to Rav Chista, he says that since, he says, according to Rabba, an arel is not a bar kapara. He's not subject to kapara. Not to say that he's not Jewish, but he's not on the same standard as a person with the bris milah. And since he's not a person who's subject to kapara, the fact that you thought about him when you shechted the carbon is completely meaningless. It's almost as if he's a non-entity, essentially. Whereas Rav Chista says, no, that an arel could very easily become a bar kapara by simply giving himself or by getting a bris milah. And since he can easily rectify his situation, therefore Rav Chista says that thinking about him when you're shechting or doing zrika is in fact going to be a problem, since he can easily become a person who is subject to kapara.